This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Ah, guest growl, Momo.
Ah!
That a girl. Oh boy, is there a lot going on today. A lot going on today, and we have breaking news. We start the show with breaking news, and it affects the Lakers, and it affects the bubble, and it affects the NBA. It is so last minute that even Ramona didn't know about it until I told her 30 seconds ago. But the NBA has just announced moments ago, Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the two finalists for MVP this year. It's pretty much down to him and LeBron. He is the reigning NBA MVP, considered by many to be the best player in the league, has been suspended for tomorrow's game against, wait for it, Memphis. So that opens up, Momo, a whole bunch of possibilities for this play-in game. I mean, for this play-in tournament this weekend. So because I think a lot of Laker fans are confused. Let's set it up and explain exactly what. Well, first of all, let's back up. Why did Giannis get suspended? Last night, a former Laker, Mo Wagner, the Bucks were playing the Wizards, and Mo Wagner and Giannis got into it. And Giannis headbutted him like you see in soccer. Like they were jawing back and forth, and Giannis just reared back and headbutted him. Very uncharacteristic for Giannis. And as a matter of fact, Ramona, he knew it right after the game. I think he knew punishment was coming. Here's Giannis, incredibly apologetic after the game.
Terrible action. You know, if I could go back, turn back the time and go back to that play, you know, I wouldn't do it. But then at the end of the day, you know, we're all human, we all make mistakes. I think it was just a whole buildup of dirty plays in my mind, you know, guys tripping me, guys, you know, falling in front of my feet. I don't have nothing against Wagner. It wasn't just him. I lasted for a second, and if I could go back, you know, I would have changed it.
And he can't go back and change it. Yeah. So the NBA today hit him with a one-game suspension for the headbutt. Now, the reason this is significant if you're a Laker fan, the Lakers are the one seed in the West. They're going to play the winner of the play-in tournament this weekend. There are four teams that are possible opponents for the Lakers. It's Portland, Memphis, Phoenix, or San Antonio. The Lakers are going to play one of those four. Now, only two of those four are getting into the play-in tournament. The play-in tournament is the 8 seed against the 9 seed. Now, Ramona, we could do a whole 3 hours on all the variables here, so I'm gonna put it in simple terms. If Portland wins, they're the 8. And Damian Lillard, he went off. Ramona and I were on the air yesterday. He scored 61 points, tied his career high. It seems like it seems like Portland is heading for the 8 seed. They still have to win. They have a game tomorrow night against Brooklyn. Now, Brooklyn's upset some teams in this, but they won't be favored to beat Portland under these conditions. But so if Portland beats Brooklyn tomorrow night, they're the 8. If Memphis beats Milwaukee, and that game is at 1 o'clock tomorrow right after the Laker game, the Lakers play their final seeding game at 10:30 tomorrow morning. Michael and I will have that game for you here on 710 ESPN. Pregame at 9, tip-off at 10:30. Right after that, Memphis plays Milwaukee. Memphis wins that game, and they're in. They're either the 8 or the 9. If Portland loses, let's say Memphis wins. If Portland loses, Memphis is the 8. If Portland wins, Memphis is the 9. And there's your play-in tournament. Portland against Memphis. But, if Memphis loses, and the Grizzlies, as you know, Ramona, have been terrible in the bubble. They have one win. If they lose to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's been good without Giannis this year. I think they're 8-1 or 9-1 without Giannis. If Milwaukee, who's the best team in the NBA record-wise, if Milwaukee beats Memphis, that opens the door for this Cinderella Phoenix Suns story.
Yeah.
Phoenix also plays at 1 o'clock tomorrow. They play at the exact same time as Memphis. Phoenix plays Dallas. So let's say Milwaukee beats Memphis. That opens the door for Phoenix, if they win, to get into the tournament. They would either be the 8 or 9, depending on what happens with Portland. And then San Antonio's got a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
They basically need everybody to lose, and San Antonio can get in. So, Ramona, a bunch of questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, who wins Memphis-Milwaukee with no Giannis?
I kind of still think Milwaukee's going to win that.
I do too.
I kind of do. Like, I have to think deeply about that because, you know, Giannis is so important to what Milwaukee is doing. But, like, I don't think he was going to play much anyway.
Right.
I think they suspended him for a game that he wasn't really going to play in that much. Or they
Maybe.
Shouldn't play him.
Conspiracy theory. They're giving Memphis a kiss because they feel like they shortchanged him by making him do this play-in tournament, so they're trying to help Memphis out. But I'm with you. I think Milwaukee could still win the game, and if I had to pick it, I would pick the Bucks.
Yeah, I would pick the Bucks. I think they win that.
So does that mean Bucks win? Does that mean Phoenix goes 8-0? Dallas is pretty good. They got Luka. They got Porzingis. They got Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle would want to keep Phoenix out of that thing because Phoenix is dangerous. Does Phoenix beat Dallas?
I think Dallas wins that one. Dallas
really
has been good.
First loss for Phoenix.
Yeah, I think. Look, Dallas was great last night. Again, I mean, we were all watching the game last night against Damian Lillard, and
Luka and Porzingis are great together.
They're
great.
Amazing. And it depends. If Dallas plays those guys, I think they'll beat Phoenix. If they sit those guys or if they limit their minutes, I think Phoenix wins, right? We don't know what Dallas is going to do yet. I'll try to poke around tomorrow to find out, like, kind of how they're playing it. Well, they probably won't tip their hand early, but, you know, they played all the way to the wire with Portland last night, and I don't think they had any reason to. Was there any incentive for Dallas last night against Portland?
No, I think they're just competing, and good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I kept thinking last night, like, why is Dallas leaving Luka and Porzingis in here? Like, you know, they don't have to. They're already locked into that 7 seed. So maybe they were just trying to keep Portland out, or they were just competing. You couldn't explain the Mavs playing as hard as Portland was. So maybe they're just competing. Maybe that's just how they're doing this. But if you're thinking about this other thing, now I always talk about, do teams tank? Absolutely. But the players don't. Right. Players don't say, oh, I'm going to miss this shot. I'm not going to try hard. It's more that the organization makes a decision to not play guys as many minutes, to pull them after, you know, at certain points, to give some young guys some run, to, you know, like, especially with Dallas, you don't want Luka and Porzingis to be tired going into the playoffs. Like, so they'll make a decision to limit minutes, and then therefore the team won't be as good. But I don't think that would do that. But Dallas would. What if Dallas was thinking, who would we rather make the playoffs, Phoenix or Portland? I don't know that they throw the game, but that gives them more incentive.
Right. It's so good.
Rest players.
Yeah, right. The conspiracy theories run about. Now, think about this for a second. If your two predictions are right, okay, if Milwaukee wins at 1 o'clock and then Dallas wins at 1 o'clock, all of a sudden at 3:30, San Antonio has a chance to get in.
Wow.
If they beat Utah, they're in. And Popovich protects that ridiculous streak of 22
Amazing.
Years of making the playoffs.
What time is the Portland game?
6. It's the last one. Now
the last one.
Portland's beaten Brooklyn, right? They're not going to. Brooklyn going to rise up?
That I have seen stranger things happen, but I would not predict that.
It's so good.
Wow.
And Ramona, I think all this excitement that you and I have and all this stuff we're talking about, I think, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right.
I think this play-in tournament is here to stay forever. I think this has worked out. Everybody, people like me and you who are NBA junkies, we're all watching the bottom of the standings more than the top. We're all watching eight.
And I guess
this
say,
is gonna this is and it gets three other teams involved that wouldn't have had a shot otherwise. I think it's a great idea. I think they should do it every year.
Well, they floated this play-in tournament this past year. Adam Silver has been wanting to tinker with the NBA season, with playoffs, with different, like, you know, mid-season soccer style tournament. And nobody really liked any of the ideas except for this idea of the play-in tournament between like the 7 through 10 seeds. That was the only idea that gained a little bit of traction. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, we don't even need that. We kind of have that already going into the last week of the season, because there's usually a pretty, you know, furious race for the eighth seed. It goes down to the final game of the final, the final game between everybody for that eighth seed anyway. But what this does is it makes it more, there's a competition for the 8 and the 9 seed. So now that I've seen this with my own two eyes, like, I thought, oh gosh, who cares about sub 500 teams trying to compete for the last two playoff spots for the right to lose in 4 games to the top seed.
Right.
Like, my initial thought was like, this was uninteresting. I'm thinking kind of the way it played out in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But it was completely uninteresting. There was nothing, there was no Washington.
But in the West, there are 4 teams within half a game of each other.
So it's kind of like the All-Star game where they played the final quarter with the, what's that rule? How do they call it again? There's a name, the guy's name, where they
play to a number of points.
Yeah, they play to a number of points, right? I'm going to think of it in a minute, but they that worked out better than anybody could have imagined. Like, it could have turned out where it just wasn't really all that close at all, and there was no drama. But because they went to this new format and it played out perfectly, that was one of the best All-Star games we've ever seen.
Right, and they all got into it and got competitive. Well, tomorrow could go down as one of the great NBA days of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if Memphis and Phoenix both win, all right, then Portland has to win just to stay in.
Wow.
I mean, Portland's probably in, and the Lakers are probably going to end up playing Portland. That's the likelihood if you're somebody who bets percentages. But they have to take care of business tomorrow. And I'm thinking, if I'm Portland, Ramona, I don't want to slip to the 9 even.
No.
Because then I have to win. Okay, so here's how that works. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah.
The play-in tournament is loaded for the 8 seed. In other words, 8 seed plays the 9 seed on Saturday at 11:30. If the 9 seed wins, the same two teams play again on Sunday. If the 8 seed wins, they advance to play the Lakers.
Mm.
So there's a possibility here that the Lakers won't know their playoff opponent until Sunday night. So in the meantime, Frank Vogel and his staff have to scout all these teams because they're all possible opponents.
Well, the good news is they had 4 months to scout these teams.
Right, but don't you think the bubble's different?
The layoff. Yeah, it's different, and you've seen different looks and different players for these teams, you know, than what you saw during the regular season. But I know that a lot of coaching staff spent most of the time off, not only scouting their own teams to see how they could improve, but just scouting literally every other team. Like, what do you do when you're a coach and you have nothing to do? You just scout. You just watch tape.
This thing is fantastic, the way this is all worked out, and it's all coming to a head tomorrow. Tim Bontemps is in the bubble working for ESPN. He's inside the bubble in Orlando, and Tim will join us next for the latest from down there about the Giannis suspension. If you're just joining us, Giannis has been suspended for a game. By the way, Ramona, being reported that Russell Westbrook missed the beginning of the playoffs. That's significant, right?
Very. Look, Houston was one of those teams that I think is really dangerous in the bubble because they have a style of play that's really started to click. You know, Houston's leading all the teams in defensive efficiency in the bubble. What?
Right. Right.
Like
Mike
Houston
D'Antoni team. Yeah.
Defensive efficiency. And I think it's just because they've put an emphasis on that side of the ball. Plus they are just a really tough matchup offensively playing that small ball. And if they don't have Westbrook, though, that really changes things. And so I think they can get away with it in the first round because they're probably going to play Utah, right? Isn't that what they're lined up with?
Maybe, but Utah could drop to the six, and they could, we'll see. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Utah, but it may be OKC, who's not an easy out.
Right. They would far prefer to play Utah than Oklahoma City, but we'll see. They don't have Westbrook, and I don't think you can push Westbrook because here's how you have to think of injuries now. When we get to the playoffs, you're going to be playing every other day. And I know that's normal.
Right now, Ramona, the way the standings are, they would play OKC in round one.
Ooh.
Utah is a half game behind OKC. Well, let's get Bontemps in here, and we'll get his thoughts on all this stuff, too. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Tim Bontemps next, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, today it's Momo in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne's in for Mace, and we're lucky we found Tim Bontemps in the bubble. And Tim, I don't think in the NBA's wildest dreams they thought this play-in scenario was going to work out as well as it has. Let me start with Giannis's suspension. Did the NBA just give Memphis a kiss? Because it seemed like somewhat of a meaningless game. I don't know if Giannis was going to play anyway. My conspiracy antennas went up. Did Memphis just get an early Christmas present?
No, the longstanding policy for this kind of thing is to give somebody a game. I was sitting about 5 feet from Kevin Garnett and Dwight Howard when KG headbutted Dwight in 2015. He got a game. I think Serge Ibaka's gotten a game for headbutting people. I mean, getting a game isn't any surprise here, and I don't think Giannis is going to play anyway tomorrow. I have a feeling that the Bucks aren't going to play hardly anybody. Mike Budenholzer is going up against one of his former assistants. I don't think it's the last game. They don't have anything to play for. So I frankly don't think any of the teams that are playing in the play-in tomorrow are going to get much resistance from who they're playing. So I expect them all to win. So I don't think there's anything untoward going on here at all.
Interesting. Well, Tim, we're having fun with all of the playoff scenarios in the Western Conference. It seems like the NBA is going to get what they would have wanted in their wildest dreams, which is it all comes down to the last game. But that Portland game at 6 p.m. our time is going to matter. It's going to factor in. So we have to pay attention to all the games on the last day. But the team we can't figure out is, where is Dallas's head at? I mean, last night, epic game against Portland. They don't really, did they have any incentive to be leaving their guys out there as long as they did? I couldn't think of one, but they did.
Oh, absolutely. No, they had a ton. If they had won that game, the real chaos scenario for tomorrow would have been if Dallas had won that game, because they would have gone into tomorrow's action with a chance to get potentially all the way up to fifth in the West. If they had won and the Thunder and Jazz had both lost, they would have been the five seed. If they had won last night, that's the thing about tomorrow. Like, if Dallas had won, Utah probably would have had to play tomorrow. Yeah. Now they don't have to. The Thunder would have probably had to play at least one of these games to avoid the Clippers. Now they don't have to. So everybody's now kind of locked in. So I actually think that it's kind of made these games a lot less meaningful for me, because I'll be awfully surprised if any of those four teams playing for one of these spots doesn't win tomorrow. Whereas if Dallas had won, all the games would have had meaning, and it would have been pretty chaotic to see how, Phoenix and Dallas would have gone, and Utah and San Antonio. Those games, I think, would have had a lot more juice if those teams had something to play for, as opposed to the way it worked out.
Tim Bontemps, who's inside the bubble for ESPN covering the NBA, is with us. Tim, is the Westbrook news a big deal? Not a big deal. What's the significance of the story that Westbrook may miss at least the very beginning of the first round?
I mean, I would certainly say it's a big deal, John, for him to get an MRI, right? I mean,
sure.
He was on the bench. I was just at their game, the Pacers-Rockets game, and he was out on the bench and looked fine. So, I mean, I would be surprised if it's a long-term thing. But, I mean, look, as you guys know, if you're less than a week from the playoffs, you have one of your star players getting an MRI to check something out. I would say that's not an ideal scenario. I expect Russ to be out there next week, but certainly I think it's safe to say that's going to be something for all of us to monitor here going forward to see, you know, how he looks and if he's able to play kind of the normal, 35, 40, 40-plus minute load that you would expect him to play when the playoffs start.
Hey, Tim, what's the reaction been to the memo that the NBA released today about the, you know, how you qualify guests to come into the bubble, the restrictions, but also who's allowed in and how they're doing it?
I don't think there hasn't been a ton of reaction, I think, to it. I mean, I think kind of for me, it's kind of what we all expected all along, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think the league is going to really make sure, given the fact that when players are able to have family members come in, they're only going to be down to the bottom 18 or the final 8 teams in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody involved is going to have a real incentive to make sure that the virus doesn't get in here and wreak havoc at the latter stages of the playoffs. I also think, frankly, a lot of people are probably not going to go through the trouble of having people come down here to begin with, because it's a pretty difficult process. Like, you got to quarantine for a week. People with wives and little kids. I know Kyle Korver has talked about this. You know, he's got, I think, 2 or 3 little kids. You know, his wife would theoretically have to come down here with them for like 4 days and sit in a hotel room and not be able to leave.
Oh,
like, he didn't know if they could do that, right? So I'm not, you know, and especially at that point, by the time we get to the second round, you're basically looking at one more month here. And I know that's still a long time, but you can kind of see the finish line. So I'm not so sure how many people are actually going to take advantage of that just because of all of the logistical hurdles that are going to come with trying to get somebody down here and through quarantine and into the bubble safely.
We're talking to Tim Bontemps from ESPN, who is inside the bubble covering the NBA. Tim, I listened to the Hoop Collective podcast the other day, and you were one of the guests along with Dave McMenamin talking to Brian Windhorst. And both you and McMenamin had a fairly high level of concern about the Lakers and how they've looked in the bubble. If I remember correctly, I think both you guys had your level of concern at about a 6 or a 7. Explain why. What's your level of concern for the Lakers and why?
That's accurate, John, and I do have a lot of concerns. I mean, obviously they hit a lot of shots the other night, but it took a pretty Herculean effort from the starters to beat, you know, Portland's B-minus team on fumes there at the end of the game.
Yeah, Denver's, you're right.
Right. And if you look over the course of the bubble, I mean, for one thing, they have not shot the ball well other than that game. And the thing that stood out to me, and you obviously watch the Lakers, you guys both watch the Lakers closer on a regular basis than I do, though I pay attention to them a lot. LeBron James has not really looked as explosive as he has in the past. And in particular, you know, I noticed it really, especially at the end of both of those games, both against Indiana on Saturday and then against Denver the other night, he did not try to get in the paint at all down the stretch. He had the one player he drove to the rim against Denver when basically everybody just parted the seas and he had like literally no one in front of him. But, you know, on Saturday, he's being guarded by Malcolm Brogdon. On Monday, there were times he's being guarded by Mason Plumlee, wasn't trying to go by him. And he was just kind of backing guys down and kicking out for passes. And if LeBron, you know, I know he's been listed with a groin injury sometimes. If he doesn't have that same burst to be able to get to the rim and explode to the rim and make plays and get by people, you know, that's kind of the predicate of everything the Lakers are built around with him with the ball, right? Him and AD with maybe the most devastating pick-and-roll combination, certainly in the league now, maybe one of the most devastating ever, and then guys who could shoot around them. Well, the shooting's been bad, and LeBron's burst isn't there. And over the course of the season, his numbers are down pretty significantly against teams with big athletic wings. And if you look in the latter stages of the playoffs, whether it's Houston or the Clippers or the Bucks or the Raptors or the Celtics, those are all teams with big physical wings that can really limit his drive. So, I mean, I'm not out here saying that I guarantee the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers or anything, but, you know, I think there's been a lot of, you know, warning signs here. And I think you guys would both agree having to play Portland in the first round is the disaster scenario for the Lakers. Not that I think Portland's going to beat them, but when you look at how Portland matches up to them with Dame and CJ out on the court, especially without Avery Bradley, that's a tough matchup. They've got enough bigs to handle the Lakers inside. They've got a lot of veteran experience. They're not going to be afraid. Like that, when you look at these other teams that they could play against, I personally wouldn't want to see this Portland team with Dame scoring 50 a game in the first round of the playoffs after everything else that's going on.
So, Tim, you know, I know what you're talking about with LeBron, where he's not getting to the pain. He's not. But how much of that is injury and how much of that is him just holding back, trying to preserve before the playoffs? I mean, I think they were going after it that first night against the Clippers. I think they played to until they clinched that one seed. But ever since that, I don't get the vibe that they were all out, selling out on every play, pushing themselves and risking anything.
That's the question, right? That's honestly, that's the true question. And I don't have an answer. Like, what I will say, in that Clipper game, he got stopped on his initial drive and got the, you know, fought and got the rebound and scored.
Yeah.
And he had one of the best defensive possessions I've seen him have in, frankly, years, guarding Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on that final possession to give the Lakers a win. I thought that was one of the best end-to-end sequences he's had in a long time. He was terrific there. But his numbers over the course of that game were not great. And he, like you said, I don't know if it's he's saving for the playoffs or he's dealing with some kind of nagging thing or, like, again, he's 35 and has played a gazillion minutes. And the fact that he even had the season he had this year, I don't think it can be said enough how remarkable this season has been from him. When you look at, like, you look at his contemporaries, Dwayne Wade's retired. Carmelo Anthony is, you know, having a nice season with Portland, but he's a bit player for them. Mm-hmm. You know, all the guys that he's come through the league with are gone.
Yeah, I mean, Chris really, Bosh retired. Yeah, it's a great point.
Bosh, yeah, obviously Bosh gone. So, like, the fact that LeBron is even in, was even, you know, I think he was second to Giannis in the MVP debate, but the fact that it was even a debate at all is a credit to the amount of work he's done. And I think your question, Ramona, like, I don't have an answer, and I think that probably is one of the one or two biggest questions going into these playoffs is, have the past 2 weeks been the Lakers kind of on cruise control, or has it been, you know, they just aren't quite the same team they were in March? And I think until we see them playing in games that truly matter, I think it's going to be difficult to know the answer to that.
All right, Tim, last thing for you. Can Dallas give the Clippers a series? They didn't really play well against them during the season. The Clippers handled them pretty easily, but I keep watching Luka. I keep watching Porzingis. Carlisle's a really good coach. Is that a possible 6 or 7 game series, or do you think the Clippers take them out early?
I think that the Mavericks have the capability to do that, John, and I think if they had played anybody else in the West, that would have given them at least a 50-50 chance of advancing in the first round.
Right, it's a terrible matchup. You're right.
It's a terrible matchup. And also, as you saw in that Portland game last night, as I'm sure just about everybody was watching, given the implications for the Blazers, they don't play any defense.
Yeah.
And until they start to play some defense, it's kind of hard to take them really seriously as a legitimate contender, right? Because you have to. I'm not saying you've got to become the 80s Pistons. But, like, you have to at least guard some. And then, the crazy thing about that game last night was, like, both teams were just scoring every single possession. You know, there wasn't even a remote attempt to play defense at either end by either team. So, yeah, I mean, look, if Dallas could guard a little better, I would like their chances. Luka and KP are awesome. I think they can maybe get it to 6. But I think, you know, especially with, you know, with, I think both those guys, yeah, I don't, KP hasn't made the playoffs yet, so. Those two guys both getting their first taste of the playoffs, going up against a battle-hardened team with a bunch of vets. I think it's going to be tough for them to make it a series, which is a shame because I was kind of hoping they would get up into the 4, 5, 6 somewhere because I think they had a real chance to advance. They played just about anybody else.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Hey, Tim, last thing for me. What's the status of Montrezl Harrell right now? Where is he in coming back to the Clippers?
I believe Montrez is in quarantine, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's in quarantine, and that I think would mean he should be able to get back by the first round of the playoffs. I don't think he's going to play in any games this week, but I think if he's in quarantine, that he should be back in time to play Monday or Tuesday when the season or when the playoffs get started. When they most likely, again, barring, you know, there is still a chance. By the way, the Clippers could fall out of 2. We'll see if. You know, if Denver beats them tonight, there's at least a chance Denver passes them. But, most likely they're going to play Dallas Monday or Tuesday. And I think by then Montrez will be back on the court.
Hey, Tim, thank you for doing this. We know we had to pull you out of games and that you're in bubble life down there. So we really appreciate you making the time. Thank you.
Oh, anytime, guys. Always happy to chat. I'm on my way to Raptors Sixers. That's the great thing about this. It's like there's NBA games 100 feet away. So it's just walking
from one game to the next. So. Tim, is this like the greatest summer league that you've ever been to?
Yeah, I mean, it's long. I mean, I'm here for 3 months. It's a long time. But I mean, look, you know, if you get paid to watch basketball games and you're walking from, you know, I was just watching James Harden play. I'm about to go watch Joel Embiid play against Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good day. All right, Tim, be safe, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you both soon.
All right, there's Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Ramona, we have breaking Joe Kelly news.
Oh, no.
If you're a Dodger fan. Oh, it's not necessarily bad.
Okay.
But we'll get it to you next. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today, it's Ramona Shelburne in Ireland as Mason's on another pandemic vacation. Ramona, Joe Kelly of the Dodgers was suspended for a ridiculous 8 games in a shortened season. I thought he should be suspended. There's no way I ever thought he should get 8 games. And Major League Baseball has just announced that his suspension has been reduced to 5 games, which is still excessive, but it's a little more reasonable. I thought Mason didn't think Kelly should be suspended at all. But I think you have to suspend a guy for throwing 96 behind somebody's head. I thought 2 games would have been enough. He's going to get 5. What do you think?
Yeah. How many has he already served?
0. He's been appealing.
Oh, right, because he appealed it. That's right. Okay. 5 feels like a lot, but I know they do this with pitchers where, you know, when it's a starter, you suspend him for 5 games and it's really only 1 start. Well, he's a reliever. He probably, of those 5 games, would probably only appear in 2 or 3 of those. That's kind of what it is. So it's 5 to make sure that he doesn't appear in 2 or 3 appearances, you know, of those games. Okay with that.
Okay, so going back to basketball, I mentioned to you during the break, James Harden had a monster game today. 45 points, 9 assists, 17 rebounds for Harden. But they lost. They lost to Indiana, and that's significant, Ramona, because with that loss, that means the Nuggets and the Clippers are locked into 2 and 3. It's just a matter of what order. It's just a matter of who's the 2 and who's the 3. They play each other tonight at 6, the Clippers and Nuggets. So I think it's going to be Clippers 2, Nuggets 3. And that means there is a very good chance that it's Lakers-Rockets in the second round. Right, it's going to be Rockets-OKC. Although, there are a lot of people, Amin El-Hassan's like this. There are a lot of people who think OKC beats Houston in a 7-game series. But I'm not one of them. I think Houston takes out OKC in the 4-5 matchup. And then that winner, and I'm predicting it would be Houston, would play the winner of Lakers-Blazers, or if one of those other teams gets into the 8. So it now it's starting. We're starting to see a roadmap for the Lakers. If the favorites win all the way through, the Lakers would play, most likely, Portland, Houston, Clippers, if they were going to make it to the finals.
Ooh.
That's a pretty
tough
gauntlet. Yeah, but but it still all could
John,
change.
John, you've seen all the games. You've seen all the Laker games. Do you think they match up better with the small ball Rockets or with the more traditional Thunder? Like, if that's the choice, or Thunder.
Yeah, they match up better with the Thunder. A matter of fact, Ramona, I did a game this year where they beat the Thunder in Oklahoma City without LeBron and AD. Neither one of them played, and the Lakers, they blew them out. At one point, the Lakers were up by 32 in that game. OKC's just doesn't match up well with the Lakers. Now, having said that, OKC beat the Lakers in the bubble, and Houston beat the Lakers in the bubble. Going back to what you asked Tim, I don't know, and Tim Bontemps was just on with this, I can't tell if the Lakers are holding things back and they're going to come out like a team on fire when the playoffs start, or if they're legitimately struggling. The reason I think they're holding things back is Frank Vogel really hasn't played a playoff rotation yet. He's playing Talen Horton Tucker a lot. He hasn't played Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith consistently. I'm going to hold on to my base theory that if you have two of the best five players in the NBA on your team, and the Lakers do, in LeBron and Anthony Davis, that you're going to be favored in every series. And I think they can. That's why I'm sticking with my pick for them to run the table and win it. But I don't know. You asked a really legitimate question, and Bontemps said he didn't know. What do you think?
I think they're holding back. I mean, LeBron doesn't usually do that when he is ramping up for the playoffs, but this is unlike any other season he's ever played where you had a 4-month gap in there. And I know he worked out like crazy during that gap. Like sometimes you can tell what LeBron's up to because he wants you to know. Like he posts on Instagram or social media, but on this one, he didn't want you to know what he was doing. He didn't go and post all his workouts. And, you know, like he's always on IG stories when he's lifting and pumping weight. You know, he didn't really do that this time. But I think that's because, one, he was probably working out at places that maybe weren't, like, socially distant acceptable. Or two, he doesn't want to show his competitors how hard he's training. And I just have heard from other players, from people in the league, that LeBron was working out every day and he came back into this in amazing condition. So I think he's holding back. I think he knows this playoffs is going to be a grind. While you don't have the travel, you are going to be playing every other day. So the only way to build yourself in some rest time or build yourself in some time to regroup is to sweep or to have some short series. So I think you're going to see a lot of teams try to push that. Nobody wants to be going 7-game series all the time. Every other day.
All right. Coming up next, and Ramona, the fact that you told me off the air that you pulled an all-nighter last night working on a story makes this next bit I'm going to do perfect. I'm going to put you to a test.
Uh-oh.
It's not an original idea. I'm stealing it from TNT, but it's a little brilliant. I'm going to do it to you next. We got the scoop at the top of the hour at 4:15. Stu Mandel, the editor-in-chief of the Athletic College Football Department, will come on, and we'll get the latest for about yesterday's announcement. It's making less sense today. Now it seems like three conferences are gung-ho, all in. They're playing. And the rest of the country isn't. We'll try and break all that down for you. Ramona Informace, I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Mason in Ireland, Ramona's in for Mace. We got the scoop coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to talk college football with Stu Mandel. McMenamin's coming on later. We got a bunch of good stuff for you. Game of games. All that stuff still to come. All right. Now, Ramona, you didn't happen to see the other night on TNT when Ernie Johnson gave Charles Barkley a cognitive test, did you?
Oh, boy. Okay. No, okay. But I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So in a recent interview, President Trump told Chris Wallace he aced a cognitive test. So everybody's been asking, what is a cognitive test? So the other day on TNT, Ernie Johnson gave Charles Barkley what would be basically an NBA cognitive test. I'm going to give you that exact same test. All right. Let's see how you do. Now, here's how it works. I have you on your honor that you're not going to cheat. You're not going to use a computer or write anything down. I'm going to give you five terms. Then I'm going to ask you three questions. Then we'll go back and see if you remember the five terms. You got it?
Okay. Yep, okay. Got it.
All right. So here are the five terms.
Okay.
Boston.
Okay.
Shot clock.
Boston shot clock.
Denver.
Denver.
Donut.
Boston shot clock, Denver, donut.
And Utah. Okay.
Boston shot clock, Denver, donut, Utah. Got it.
Just keep those in the back of your mind. Okay. Question
Boston,
number.
Shot clock, Denver,
okay.
Donut, Utah.
Ramona, question number one. Four NBA cities start with the letter M. What are they?
Minneapolis.
Right.
Milwaukee.
Right.
Miami.
Right.
And
we've been talking a lot about them.
Hold on a minute. We've been talking
Memphis.
Lindsay.
Yeah. Memphis. Don't. Thanks.
Lindsay, if you ruin this, if you get your hands,
sorry,
ruins
up.
It. All right.
Okay.
Question two.
Yeah.
Now count these in your head as we go along. I'm going to ask you at the end, how many total Z's are used in the following words? Okay.
Okay.
Pizza, zebra, wizards, pajamas, Grizzlies. Pizza, zebra,
six.
Wizards,
six.
Pajamas. Six. Very good, Ramona. You got them all. Okay.
Okay.
Question number three.
I'm already forgetting those first five words.
Stick with me here.
I'm trying to.
Question number three.
Okay.
If you went to sleep at 3:30 in the morning and woke up
often.
At 1 in the afternoon, how much sleep did you get?
9 hours.
All right, I'm going to give it to you again. If you went to sleep at 3:30 in the morning and woke up at 1 in the afternoon, how much sleep did you get?
Oh, okay, 8.5. 8.5.
It's 9.5.
Oh, 9.5. Okay, all right.
Okay, now, what are the five things I told you to remember in the beginning?
Boston shot clock, Utah.
This is exactly what Barkley
did. Boston shot clock, Utah.
Lindsay or Fudge, do you remember the other two?
Nope.
Not at all.
All right, here were the five.
How far did I get?
You got three of the five. You got the first two and the last one. Here were the five. Boston, shot clock, Denver, donut, Utah.
Denver donut. That's the other ones. So that's the one I should have got.
You did exactly the same as Barkley.
Excellent. So let me tell you how.
Actually, I think for somebody working on no sleep, you did pretty well.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I think, so this is what I learned about tests. When there are certain types of learners, so you are either an auditory learner, that means you learn by listening.
Right.
You're a visual learner, that means you learn by seeing. You are a kinesthetic learner, that means you learn by doing something, like a repetitive action.
Right.
So I tend to have a photographic memory for things that I read. However, I'm not reading these things that you're sending to me, right?
I'm just telling them
to you. So the best I can do is to say them out loud and hope that I can be an auditory learner too. I can repeat it because it makes me an auditory and then a kinesthetic learner because I was, you know, I'm saying it myself. Okay.
Right.
That's about the best you can do.
Okay. So there's two things I want to get to before we get to the scoop. Number one, did you see this story about CJ McCollum of the Trailblazers?
Oh, playing with a disc.
He has a
broken
fracture
vertebra
in his back. That's pretty significant. I mean, last night he was 2 of 14.
Yeah.
From the field. And he was, you know, when you look at the plus minus, he was minus 25. If he's messed up, that really, I mean, that affects Portland deeply, doesn't it?
It does. And I think it also, the one reason why the Lakers don't want to see Portland is because they have two great guards and the Lakers are down a great defensive guard.
So if McCollum were to drop out, that kind of evens the playing field, right?
And I don't think he drops out. I think he's playing. I mean, I don't think they would let him out there if
he
it
is.
Wasn't safe.
He is playing, you know, but that can't be easy.
No, it's got to just be incredibly painful. I mean, I know what I have. I've had just any lower back injury, and usually what that is once you warm up, you're okay for a little while. But if you warm down, if you cool down a little bit, it's really hard to go back in and perform at any kind of level.
Right. So that's a story we'll keep an eye on, and obviously could have an effect tomorrow night when they try and lock down their spot in the play-in tournament. And then the last thing before we get to the scoop, I want to welcome someone to the world.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have heard this yet, but born this morning, Riggs Trudell. Mike Trudell and his wife Annie had a baby. The baby Trudell has arrived, and Riggs already scoring points with his parents because he arrived on an off day.
Excellent.
So Mike will not miss any games. And so Mike and his wife Annie have twin boys that are five, Jet and Talon, and now here comes Riggs, born today. So they, Mike and Annie no longer can play man-to-man defense. They must switch to a zone. So everybody's, well, I should say mom and baby are doing fine. Dad is probably hyperventilating, but he texted me earlier, so I think he's doing fine too.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations to Mike and his wife. I think that's, you know, she used to be a, like an au pair or something, or a nanny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he just married a professional. Like,
right.
Like, if anyone was going to have lots of babies and be really good at that, like, you married the pro.
That's awesome. And by the way, Mike, who's a really good dad, wouldn't know what to do with the dog if it were not for Annie. So, yeah, he knew what he was doing. He definitely outkicked his coverage. All right, coming up next, the scoop. All the things we haven't had a chance to get to today. And then after that, Stu Mandel's going to join us, and we'll get to, best we can, the bottom of this college football mess. So a ton of stuff going on. Giannis has been suspended for a game. Joe Kelly of the Dodgers has had his suspension reduced to five games, down from eight. And the Clippers and Nuggets have locked in to spots two and three in the West because Houston lost earlier today. All that and more still to come. 710 ESPN.